The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Canada's Liberal Party won the country's federal election after a major turnaround in support. This means current Prime Minister Mark Carney, who took over from former PM Justin Trudeau when he resigned in January, will remain on the job and form a new government. Carney surged in popularity after adopting a feisty and defiant anti-Trump platform in response to the president's tariffs and suggestion that Canada should become the 51st U.S. state.
You mentioned Donald Trump there. Let's talk a bit more about him. What kind of an impact did he have on this election?
I do want to say that Canadians do care about cost of housing, inflation, crime, but I think it would not be an understatement to say that for many, possibly a majority of Canadians headed to the polls, the number one question when they were casting their ballots was, who is best to stand up to Donald Trump?
Carney called the election after taking over from Justin Trudeau, but his party fell short of the 172 seats needed for a majority government. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre conceded defeat and said his party would hold the future minority government to account. But he promised to work with the Liberals in countering U.S. President Donald Trump's trade war and annexation threats.
I have a question. Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready to stand up for Canada with me? And who's ready? Who's ready to build Canada strong?
One of the responsibilities of government is to prepare for the worst, not hope for the best. As I've been warned, America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. Never. But these are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never ever happen. But we also must recognize the reality that our world has fundamentally changed.
Is there a stronger, unhinged emotion in the world today than hate Trump, get Trump? They hate Trump so much. They hate Trump more than their country dying from within. It's really incredible to watch. And it's not like we're unfamiliar with it here in the United States. I mean, look at the resistance Donald Trump faced coming in back in 2015 and 16. The Mitt Romneys of the world, John McCain, all of them, they hated Trump more than they hated the disastrous policies of Barack Hussein Obama. And that's what we're seeing play out now in Canada. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to, as per usual. You can get to the live video stream at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. So, Romans 13 and verse 1 to begin with. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Jesus said much the same to Pilate during his sham of a trial, the kangaroo court. Everyone was assembled. Everyone was involved. You talk about everyone getting swept up into an emotional fervor. I mean, just unhinged will worship. The Sanhedrin, Caiaphas, Annas, Pilate. I mean, even Pilate near the end said, I think this man's innocent. I touched on some of this yesterday. But how do you explain this? The hatred for Donald Trump. The hatred for a tweet. Now, I will say this. Donald Trump is the most powerful man, certainly the most famous, or some would say infamous, leader in the world today. And so a tweet that he sends out, it carries weight. But like I said, we saw this in 2015 and 16. Trump would come out with some provocative tweet. I mean, he follows through on some, and obviously others he didn't. He was saying all through the campaign leading up to 2016 that he was going to put Hillary Clinton in jail. He was going to lock her up. They chanted this. And I mean, heads exploded. He would talk about the media, the fake news, and the media said that this was an existential threat. This was a dangerous threat to free speech. Trump was going to squash that. And then you look at Obama, you look at Trudeau, you look at Carney. Look at who it is that squashes free speech. Look at who it is that actually takes away fundamental rights, whether in Canada or the United States. Seems to me like more Canadians should have read America Under Attack ahead of the election last night. And just change it to Canada. Canada has been under attack for decades, especially the last 10 years. I mean, Trudeau loved him some Obama. Carney loves Obama. Who's the real villain here? So America's the enemy now. Just like I read to you from Spiegel yesterday. Germany says, yeah, it's America. That's the big problem. So easy, isn't it? I mean, Colossians 2. What we're seeing is will worship. What we're seeing as well is how far gone we are. Here, Canada, not unlike the United States during the Joe Obama years, Canada's been invaded by a foreign power, many of them, for decades. Yeah, and Canada just goes to sleep. Just invite in the world, India, China, wherever. Just come on in, take over, bring your own culture. Canadians have lost their identity, their culture, their everything, their heritage, their foundations, their traditions. And then along comes Trump. I know it puts Polyev in a difficult position. But again, we've seen this before. Well, let's side with the Obama type because we hate Trump so much. So he did. How'd that work out for him? Well, there's probably other factors too, like cheating and that sort of thing. You've obviously got the regime media behind the Obama type in Canada. But hey, we got to fight against Trump. So let's reach out to the EU. So let's reach out to China. The world's in realignment. I mean, this in a lot of ways, as you step back and look at all of the stories from this year, I mean, this is a stunning transformation. It happened so quickly. It was just a few months ago where the Liberal Party in Canada was, well, Donald Trump pretty much ran Trudeau out of town. And then here's this stunning comeback, this political resurrection. And it's fueled by hate Trump. Hate Trump. It was the Orange Hitler narrative, among other things. Probably some voter fraud. And then Polyev, and again, we don't know. We're not into the ins and outs of, you know, this percentage point tipping in this favor or what. Everybody's got their differing opinion. Those that say Polyev was in a very difficult position because of the just the thinking of your typical Canadian. Donald Trump is a threat. What did he say? That's really incredible. America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. And he says this as immigrants by the millions are taking over Canada's land, water, resources, and country. Okay, we got it. When have you heard Donald Trump talk about wanting to destroy Canada, its heritage, its history, its traditions? Okay, there's the 51st state thing. Okay, there's the Governor Trudeau thing. Okay, there's the tweets. Yeah, the tweets. As if Donald Trump is the one that voted for Carney. Canadians voted for Carney. How many? I guess we don't know for sure because of the amount of fraud that happens in Israelite elections these days. But a lot of them voted for Carney. A lot of them voted for more of the same. It's so easy to just use Donald Trump as the scapegoat, always, forever. Orange Hitler. This was really, if you think about the liberals coming into this election, this was their only hope, because 2 seconds ago, they were the villains. And Canadians were waking up to that fact. Our country, the taxes are too high. The cost of living, the price for property. We can't function. And then now there's tariffs. I mean, that was a big part of the storyline as well. But you're not getting truthful or accurate reporting with respect to that. I'll play you a clip later where it just talks about how dependent we are on China. Think of the decades that U.S. leaders sold out America to make a quick buck from China's goods, the cheap labor, all the way through the rhinos, Clinton, the rhinos, the Bushes. And then Trump comes along and says, we got to stop this. We got to fix it. So get Trump. He's worse than China, evidently. He's worse than Germany. He's worse than anyone. He's Orange Hitler. And we have to fight it. The spirit of hatred for Donald Trump. Yet again, it dominates another election cycle. And so we're seeing all of these earth-shaking developments. It's accelerating. It's accelerating the fulfillment of multiple prophecies. Listen again to Mark Carney from his victory speech last night, clip 5.
We are once again at one of those hinge moments of history. Our old relationship with the United States, a relationship based on steadily increasing integration, is over. The system of open global trade, anchored by the United States, a system that Canada has relied on since the Second World War, a system that, while not perfect, has helped deliver prosperity for a country for decades, is over. We are over the shock of the American betrayal, but we should never forget the lessons.
But you're going to take us forward.
We have to look out for ourselves, and above all, we have to take care of each other.
Yeah.
When I sit down with President Trump, it will be to discuss the future economic and security relationship between two sovereign nations. And it will be with our full knowledge that we have many, many other options than the United States to build prosperity for all Canadians.
There you go. The relationship with America, it's over. It's over. We're now coming to grips with the American betrayal. Last night, among other things, I mean, there's plenty of hate Trump, as you see there. But there's also Canada first. Really? Is that, I mean, is this really a time to talk about putting your own nation first? Every nation is doing it. Newsflash, they're all doing it. And it just so happens, as I've said over and again, that we're seeing the proliferation of nuclear weaponry around the world. There's a lot of leaders in the world today that are in impossible positions. He's just going to keep doing more of the same. He's cut from the cloth of Trudeau. And so Canada will suffer because of it. Canada will suffer. And as it reaches out to China and the EU, the German-led EU, you think they're going to be looking out for Canadian interests? They're going to be looking to take over Canada's resources and land. It's already happening. It was happening under Joe Obama to the tune of 20 million illegals coming into the United States, helping themselves to all of the handouts, staying in 4- or 5-star hotels, getting cash cards. Yeah, I mean, they had nightclubs in Denver. That one just got raided by Trump's ICE. But under Obama, I mean, Joe Biden knew all about the nightclub. All these MS-13 gang members and their girlfriends dancing the night away in Colorado. I mean, that's coming in, if you ask me. That's coming in and taking over our land, our resources, our water, our country. So we can let it happen little by little, drip, drip, drip. But if Donald Trump tweets something, then, you know, I said this all through the Joe Obama years. They are more concerned about what Donald Trump could possibly do than what they are about the dear leader doing, what he's actually doing. And it's the same now in Canada. We're seeing the same history repeat. We've seen it before. Well, okay, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Obama's policies, but Trump! There you go. Trump's tweet! There you go. Obama nearly, very nearly, fundamentally transformed the United States of America into a communist-style dictatorship. And God didn't let it happen. Right at the last, though, you know what else this shows me? As you look at what's happened in Canada, as you consider what happened with the election steal in 2020, and then you think, it's easy to look at last year and think, well, you know, Trump got the momentum, and I mean, he was promising to turn the economy around and this and that. No, no. You knew it from the head tilt. God looked at the bitter affliction and said, I'm going to save America by the hand of Jeroboam. Now, it just so happens that Jeroboam is also the catalyst for a lot of other resurrections that we're seeing. You have a resurrection to a more traditional way to view your country, you know, borders, security, that kind of thing. But we're seeing the rise of German militarism, of all things. We're seeing the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. We're seeing a resurgence for Hamas in Gaza because of, you know, we just have to have a ceasefire. Same thing with the Russian Empire. All of these things happening just in 2025, just in the last few months. I haven't even mentioned the death of the Pope, the conclave starting on May 7th. And that's certainly going to revive the Catholic Church like we haven't seen in our modern times, just because look at the world. I mean, you need a strong everything to what? Oppose Orange Hitler. You heard it from one of the commentators. Not that Canada isn't interested in some of these other policies and, you know, lowering taxes and the cost of living, but, you know, when it came right down to it, Canadians showed up to vote based on who would oppose Trump. Who can oppose Trump? That's the way they're thinking in Germany. That's the way they're thinking in China. That's the way they're going to be thinking in the conclave as well. And so all of these earth-shaking, dramatic developments, it's happening all over. I mean, just the return of Donald Trump itself. That's quite the political resurrection. So there's a resurrection. You've got the German militarism. You've got, as I said, Hamas. You've got the Liberal Party that was left for dead in Canada. It's back. It's pretty amazing. And amid all these resurrections, the most important one of all is the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. That's prophesied in your Bible. And we got to brace ourselves for what's coming. Because it makes your head spin. It's hard to keep up with, as I've been saying. Everything's just moving so fast. To just give you some idea of the difficult position that so many leaders are in, world leaders, including Jeroboam. I mean, he's a transformative president, for sure. But look at how things are shaking. One man, there's a lot of fuel. There's still a lot of fuel in the get Trump movement, the hate Trump movement. But this is David Sacks talking about America's dependence on China and Chinese goods, clip 15.
I think what's happened over the past few weeks has been a very important stress test. And it's basically flagged some serious weaknesses or dependencies that have evolved in this relationship over the past few decades. You know, I flagged this in a previous episode that we did with Larry Summers, where I said that 25 years ago was a huge mistake to walk China into the WTO. And I think that just to build on that thought, one of the problems with walking them into the WTO is that they got what's called developing nation status.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can either be a developing nation or a developed nation in the framework of the WTO. And maybe there was something legitimate to that in 1978, you know, when Deng Xiaoping began his reforms, the average Chinese person was making $2 a day. By the year 2000, it was much more questionable, and it certainly makes no sense in the year 2025. And still to this day, China gets developing nation status. Now, what is the benefit to China of that? Well, they have a whole different set of rules. They're allowed to have tariffs. They're allowed to subsidize their industries. They have all sorts of different timetables for doing things. They're allowed to do things that the U.S. simply can't do. Now, how have they leveraged that? They have identified strategically certain industries that are choke points in the global supply chain, and they have taken them over. And I think it's been very useful, again, as a stress test to reveal our critical dependencies on China that we've exposed. We never should have let this happen. Just from a national security standpoint, we worshiped at the altar of this like free trade god to the point where we became dependent on China for these critical components of our supply chain. I think that was a catastrophic mistake. And I think that it's exposed these dependencies we've created on a nation that is not our ally and that we can't count on them. It's a country of concern.
And so Trump's, he's basically summarizing what's happened over the last several decades. I mean, what a complicated mess this is to try to fix this. And no one the world over is trusting in God. No one's looking to God for the answer or the solution. Everybody's got their own ideas. I just handed out this article. Who's responsible for killing Christ? Answer, everyone in that era. You had the Jewish leadership, the religious leaders. You had the Roman authorities. You had the soldiers. You had the local mob. They all were in on it. And it just shows. I mean, you expand that out. And what a lesson you could take away from that first century history in Jerusalem, in and around Jerusalem, is that we're all responsible. If you have these leaders in America, in Canada, in everywhere else, we're so dependent on China and the cheap labor and the cheap goods and the copied goods in many cases that it's disrupting our supply chains if there's one hiccup. And so what does one do? One who comes along and says, okay, they're playing according to a different set of rules. They can have tariffs. They can manipulate the currency. They can do all this. But America can't. So America starts to do it and says, no, we're going to play by the same rules. And then you see what happened. You see how the world reacts. America's the enemy. Look at what China's been getting away with. That's another takeaway, what we're seeing here in the tariff wars and so on. Look at how, and these are adversarial nations. They're not looking for, you know, they're not looking for opportunities to help support and promote America. They want to tear down America. But before that, take advantage of all the resources that you can in America. Get some of the money. And with Joe Obama, I mean, they were happy to send out trillions. Doge has exposed that. What a complicated mess. You know, you look at the blessings and cursings chapters, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, God says that for disobedience, he'll send curses. How many of these curses, though, does he not even have to send? Because we bring it on ourselves. Wow, China, cheap goods, cheap labor. We can make a quick buck. Forget about the future generations of America. Self-imposed curses. Either way, whether it's God directly sending it or whether you bring it upon yourself. That's what happened in Canada last night. Another self-imposed curse. I mean, they've been living under curses for years and years it's gone on. And most of the nation just comfortably asleep, just slumbering away. And then finally they pull out of the stupor and say, hey, what? 51 states, come on now. Trump! as I said, is there a greater irrational, deranged, emotional reaction than hate Trump? It's so strong. I made the point in one of my classes recently, just talking about Jesus Christ pouring his heart into his prayers, those final sessions at Gethsemane, because he wasn't thinking exactly like God. If he was left to his will, he wouldn't have gone through the day, all the events of that crucifixion day. But he prayed in an attitude of humility and submission, and he said, "Not my will, but your will be done. Father, I know it's possible for you to remove this cup, but I want to submit to your will. I want to do what you want me to do." And he did it. He did it. Now, the disciples, that's a different story. They had an exhausting day the day before. They get out to Gethsemane. They can't stay awake. They can't pray with Christ. But they were all very, very confident that they would be ready for the next day. And they weren't. They all fled. They all fled. And it shows a pretty big weakness in human nature. You can't get by on strong feelings of emotion. I covered in class just this morning the difference between God's love and infatuation, and how that infatuation is based solely on emotion. How God's love's not an emotion. Now, it's expressed with an emotional content, as Herbert Armstrong explained. But God's love combines the rational component of thinking and reasoning together with God, and then showing, God-influenced emotion. What we're seeing around the world today is not godly emotion. It's not God's love. It's will worship. It's self-confidence. It's thinking that, well, just because I feel strongly about that Trump tweet. I feel strong, and I might even vote this time. That's not going to cut it with God. That's not going to cut it for your nation. We're headed to a massive, massive train wreck. Because of this, everyone doing what seems right in their own eyes. Judges 21:25. Getting back to the curses, God says in Leviticus 26:17, "I'll set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursue you." Canada's going to find out who hates Canada, who really hates Canada, in a hurry. We're all about to find this out. Deuteronomy 28, verse 44, "He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail." I mean, that's already happening. From within, this sickness, these curses. Now, Trump, for his part, he's getting in, he's closing the border, he's done some dramatic things in these first 100 days to secure the border, to send the criminals home, to close up the clubs so MS-13 can't party through the night in some Colorado town. Tweet from Trump. I mean, if that doesn't stir you up, something's wrong with you. What about seeing your country overrun by foreign invaders? What about seeing oppressive government steal away your freedoms, make it impossible for your children to own property, to buy a home, to save for the future, maybe even to get a car? Just a few short months ago, the Liberal Party in Canada, nearing the end of its third term, looked set for an electoral wipeout. This is the Telegraph. But one man changed it all, Donald Trump. How is this possible? With all the villainous leaders in the world, how is this possible that one man, Donald Trump, could tilt the entirety of the Canadian election? Says his return to the White House and threats to make Canada the 51st state changed the dynamics of the election. as did the resignation of Trudeau. It says he was replaced by Carney, widely seen as an outsider, given that he had not held an official role in politics before. Pierre Poilievre, or Poilievre, I don't know how to say that, but I actually went to Google this morning to figure it out. I'm still saying it three different ways. Pierre, that's easy. If his last name was Pizzaballa, no problem. It says the conservative leader, on the other hand, had spent years cultivating his image in a similar vein to MAGA. I don't know Canadian politics enough to know if he was really trying to align his thinking with the MAGA movement. He was really put in a difficult position because of the Trump tweets and so on. But if the MAGA movement was fueling the conservatives to just jump ship as soon as there's one tweet, and then all of a sudden, Poilievre sounds like Carney Light. That's emotion taking over, taking control. Listen, I feel strongly. Now, I feel strongly about how much I don't like Obama's policies, but I feel stronger about how much I hate Trump. Why do you hate him? Well, look at what he tweeted. Look at what he might do. What about Obama and what he's currently doing? Well, I mean, he's a good man. Obama has a good heart. Trump has an evil heart. That's all that you need to know, as I say. In America, we've been there. We saw it. I mean, America Under Attack, it gives you the full sweep of this story. Get Trump. Carney said, well, let me just read this from PJ Media. You think American leftists have Trump derangement syndrome? They've got nothing on Canadians who just chose to remain on the path of national decline and self-destruction. Should I read it again? Canadians chose to remain on the path of national decline and self-destruction. Leave Trump aside for a moment. Look at the path Canada is currently on. It says here, the Liberal Party's Mark Carney, who succeeded the disastrous eternal boy Justin Trudeau as Canada's prime minister on March 14, was elected in his own right in Canada's Monday election. It was an outcome that would have seemed inconceivable as recently as December, when the Conservative Party held a comfortable lead in the polls. A Conservative victory seemed so certain that numerous pundits were talking about not if, but when Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre became prime minister. Then, however, came the November 29, 2024 meeting at Mar-a-Lago between Trump and Trudeau. And thereafter, the Governor Trudeau tweets all the talk about Greenland. I guess that's separate from Canada, although it's in the general vicinity. The 51st state, the tariffs, and on it goes. It says here, yet Poilievre is the actual Canadian nationalist, while Carney is yet another World Economic Forum-linked socialist internationalist who will continue the hollowing out of Canada that Justin Trudeau pursued with almost as much vigor as he brought to Taylor Swift concerts. Trump even repudiated Poilievre and said he would prefer to work with Carney. I mean, how do you even explain that? What is Donald Trump thinking on that comment? He'd rather work with Carney? Carney declared him the enemy last night. Carney said the relationship with America's over. It's a complicated mess, isn't it? And it's everywhere that you look. How foolish are Canadian voters? They've just kept a politically inexperienced prime minister and largely discredited Liberal minority government in power because of their frustration with a U.S. president. Hate Trump. I mean, man, that's a strong emotion. And there's plenty of it around the world. Lots of hatred. Lots of will worship. Listen to this from DW News in Europe, clip 9.
It's no surprise that his first foreign trip when he became leader was to France and England. Carney has said that he's seeking to deepen ties with what he calls reliable allies, including the EU, UK, and like-minded Asian allies. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
A lot more of that from Carney. Yeah, reach out to Europe and Asian allies. Those are the friends. The foe is America. The foe is Donald Trump. Haven't you read his tweets? Come on. Asia really wants to make Canada great again. And so does Germany. They really want to see Canada prosper and be free. And none of them, you should know, none of them want to put tariffs on any Canadian goods. No. No. I speak as a fool. We're seeing America first as it's replicating out in the open now with every other nation on earth. And what's it leading to? It's building to great tribulation. Jesus told us this. That was one of his final sermons, the Olivet Prophecy. You better get ready. There's going to be a lot of false Christs out there, okay, fake religion, and then just a lot of conflict. And then also, together with that, a lot of so-called natural disasters, just everywhere. Curses, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, you better get ready. Are you emotionally prepared for it? We're living in the year of one resurrection after another, and the most important among them, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Listen to one more from DW, clip 10.
It's not just Canadians that are watching this. It's the whole world now that's watching this election.
Yeah, I was often said that it's sort of a generational moment for Canada being in the world headlines, in the international headlines. It doesn't happen often. And, you know, we're having one of those moments where everyone's looking to Canada. Foreign Minister Melanie Joly, before the election, when Trump announced his tariffs, said Canada's sort of the canary in the coal mine for basically the world in terms of the tariff policies.
The whole world is looking to Canada for what? Well, to see how strong the movement is to hate Trump. That's what we need. We need a pope who opposes Trump. We need a German leader who opposes Trump. We need a Chinese leader. We need a Russian leader. We need everyone to oppose Orange Hitler. And Canada, too. All of them. We got to fight back against Orange Hitler. What? What a complicated mess. And it's just going to get more complicated. And eventually it's going to blow up in every nation's face. Now, the good news is Jesus told us about all these events that would precede his return to this earth. I mean, when he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, the nations will have assembled to fight against Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just like they fought against him in the first century. All of this emotion, crucify him, crucify him. That's what they screamed when Pilate said, you know what, I don't think he's guilty. I think this is an innocent man. You better crucify him, or you're not loyal to Rome. Listen, hatred is the emotion that we want to fuel right now. We got to get rid of this menace. And we've seen this in history over and again. That doesn't mean any world leader, certainly no politician today, is on par with Jesus Christ. What it means is that we should be looking to God and his son, Jesus Christ, for a way out of this complicated mess. Only God's solution will work. And yet we're becoming less and less and less religious by the day. And there's plenty of false religion to go with it. I told you on yesterday's show, I mean, you have commentators talking about how historic and how amazing this is that we can have peace talks in the Vatican. And oh by the way, this is an institution that's being dogged by scandal. This is the way of the world. This is the way of Satan's world, even the religious world. There's lots and lots of problems, lots of complicated messes. They're all over the place. Look at the way the world treated Jesus Christ. Look at how they attacked him. That there was nothing just about that trial. The arrest, the arraignment, the trial, the sentence, the judgment, the punishment, the scourging, the crucifixion. And you know what? In the end of all of that, the tomb was empty. 3 days, 3 nights later, the tomb was empty. And Jesus, just as he had said to his persecutors, he told Caiaphas, he told the Sanhedrin, in a few days, I'm going to be at the throne of God. I'm going to be at the throne of God in heaven. God raised him from the dead. There's no more momentous event in human history. As I said in class yesterday, there's no more significant and momentous trial. I'm talking about the trial before the Sanhedrin and Pilate and Herod. And yet, look at how man wants to fixate on legal battles and struggles and trials that you see in the courtrooms of men. I told you about one just yesterday on the show, this activist judge in a black robe that was trying to give safe passage to an illegal alien criminal. This is a world that's it's dangerous and perilous, like Paul said, and it's getting worse. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. And in the midst of all of this, God says, you better make sure you're really drawing closer to God and seeing God more clearly with each passing day, breaking through to God like Jesus did at Gethsemane, prepared and ready. You look at all those responses, whether it was before the Sanhedrin or Pilate, or even what Jesus said on the stake. That was God speaking. That was God speaking through him. And that's what we need in times of severe trial and test. We need God. We need God's perspective. We want to submit to and fulfill God's will, not our own. God's had enough of human will, of will worship. And there's plenty more to come as people react emotionally and say, this has to be right. I mean, that really makes me angry. And they're acting on emotion alone in some cases, just pure emotion, out of control emotion, unhinged emotion. This is when we need God's rational thinking and reasoning. Above all, I've got another section here on just following on yesterday's segment regarding the invasion at the border, as I say. I mean, there's plenty of sicknesses and diseases and curses to worry about here at home or in Canada than to concern ourselves with pointing the finger at, well, he's the reason why we need to vote in this way or this direction. There's a little bit of a crackdown here in the States, which is refreshing to see, but it's not near enough. And everything that you see, the more you see just how much of a complicated mess it really and truly is. It's like just about everything we cover on this show, but I don't want to make it depressing, because again, it could have been just a depressing thing for the disciples there at the end with Jesus Christ in the first century. And they did get discouraged. Jesus, though, showed them, take it to God and he'll strengthen you. Judas expressed some remorse. He took the 30 pieces of silver and returned it to the temple. He said, look, I've betrayed an innocent man. Then he went off and committed suicide. So it's not enough to just show some human sorrow. That's just being guided by emotion alone as well. He should have repented. He should have repented. He should have turned back to Christ and to God and said, I've made a tragic mistake here, and I'm sorry, and I'm gonna learn from this, and I'm going to go forward with Christ. That's the solution. But the world rejects that. The world fights against that. So much will worship, and it's really being exposed, isn't it? Last night, Canada votes for 10 more years of, well, at least continuing on from the previous 10 years, of national decline and self-destruction, just like that one article put it. What a choice to make. When we come back, I'll see what we have any time left for. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last two centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
Look, I started in the Borg Show in 1984. I've been at this for over 40 years. I worked for six presidents, starting with Ronald Reagan. Every president I ever worked for took border security seriously, because you can't have national security if you don't have strong border security. We got to know who's coming in, what's coming in, where's coming in, why it's coming in, right? Even President Obama and President Clinton took some steps to secure the border because they understood national security was important. Joe Biden was the first president in the history of this nation who came into office and unsecured a border on purpose.
That's right. That's right. They need the votes in order to stay in power. One of our news gatherers. The other factor is that Trudeau added over 1 million new citizens to Canada since the last election in 2021. That's probably many new liberal voters in a country of only 41 million people. That's a lot of new voters. Trudeau invited them in. Where'd they come from? Were they Israelites? Or were they foreigners? Were they coming from a different background, a different nationality? Again, every nation has some immigration policies, but you look into the Old Testament and you see time and time again where Israelite tribes just invited in the world. Whether it happens legally, quote unquote, or illegally, Joe Obama's very familiar with that, as you heard Holman say there. He came in and he opened the borders. This is why Democrats are panicking in the United States, because you send them back home, you send them to El Salvador, and you can't cheat as easily. The more you flood the nation with foreigners, the more you can cheat, the more you can say, well, they're voting from the shadows and we don't want voter ID. That's racist. But, you know, there are a lot of people, and everybody deserves a vote. The communists know how to flood the system. And they come in, don't they? They come in, and they want Canada's land. They want Canada's resources. They want the country. And these communist leaders, they're happy to just hand it all over. But Trump! You look at the Trump tweet, and that's, clearly, that we have to select a leader that will oppose Trump. Not the flow of immigration, but Trump. He's the problem. Here's one more from Tom Holman, clip 17.
And as far as releasing so many people, you know why the Biden administration released millions of people in the United States? No one ever talks about it. I'll talk about it. Why did they release people into the interior of the United States and rather than put them into an ice bed? Why not put them in an empty ice bed at $127 a night rather than in a hotel room at $500 a night? They did it on purpose. Because when you put them in an ICE detention bed, they get a hearing in 35 days. Court records show 9 out of 10 people claim asylum, get order removal, they're gone. But if you release them and put them in a hotel room at $500 a night, their hearings can be 5, 7, 9 years if you pull out all appeals. And what are they hoping for then? That another Democrat administration is in power. They can warrant amnesty to millions. This is about selling this country off for future political power. That's what it was. The law clearly says if you arrive at our border without proper documentation, you shall be detained. Not maybe, not think about it, shall. And that's what President Trump's doing. Catch and release is over.
Sell out the country for future political power. We've got to recruit the votes, even if they're MS-13 or the Venezuelan gang, criminals, rapists. You may have seen this week, the White House, they put all these mugshots, basically, of these criminal aliens guilty of murder, homicide, rape. It's right there on the White House lawn, right in front of all of the fake news media. Trump's administration basically saying, all right, you're not going to report on this? Well, when you're reporting on other things, your fake narratives, you're going to have these illegal immigrant mugshots in the background. And then you listen to the regime media just losing their mind over this. Play clip 18.
White House has put up about 100 posters of what they say are unauthorized immigrants who have been arrested for violent crimes. You can see them there. They put them up on the driveway of the White House. If you look here, that's the West Wing just at the forefront, the executive mansion itself to the left. But what's particularly noteworthy about this location is it is right directly behind the positions where TV correspondents do their hits from the White House lawn. So therefore, no matter what network you're on, that includes MSNBC, if you're doing a hit from the White House right now, those pictures will be behind you. The White House doing a briefing in about a half hour about what they're doing here.
Wow, those pictures, they'll be behind you. This got quite a lot of coverage. You know, when the gang member rapes an American citizen, not so much, not so much. When a gang member gets sent to El Salvador, into the mega prison, not so much coverage. Or if we do cover it, we've got to show how that Trump's a dictator. Hate Trump. Trump's the problem. Defend the criminals. Defend lawbreaking. There's more and more people speaking boldly on the radical left side of things. I played some of it for you yesterday. David Brooks, I mean, he works at the New York Times. He's supposedly a Republican. Listen, now I know to do what this Judge Dugan did, it breaks the law, but, morally, it's acceptable. It's okay to even break laws so long as you hate Trump. It's fueling quite a lot of unhinged, irrational, emotionally out of control behavior all over the world. Here in the United States, in Canada, in Germany, in Asia, in China, in Russia, in Gaza, all over the place. What a catalyst this has been to so many of your Bible's prophecies being fulfilled just ahead of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.